This is one of the swing beds.
CEO Rob Allen lowers his voice. We're entering the part of the hospital devoted to long-term care. The rooms are decorated with art and stuffed animals. One resident has propped a photo of Elvis against her window. And the reason Allen's taken me here is because changing how these beds are licensed could reap major financial reward for the hospital.
Take our 15 long-term care beds and put them into that same swing bed status. And it wouldn't change the way we provide care, but it would just change the regulations that we're working under.
Meaning patients wouldn't notice the difference and long-term care would continue, but the hospital would qualify for $1.1 million from Medicare. That's the estimate of Stroudwater Associates, a consultant hired to diagnose where the hospital could mop up some financial returns. Of all the suggestions in their 100-page report, this one is the most lucrative, but also the most technical.
For us, it's some paperwork, and we also need the state to go along with it and agree to the change.
Other changes don't require a rubber stamp from the state, but would change the hospital's relationship to family medicine, starting with the youngest.
And then we have a whirlpool in the hallway, too, because Sitka women strong and good labor mamas and everything.
Vicki Akins is a labor and delivery nurse. Earlier this year, hospital leadership wrote it into the budget to discontinue the obstetrics program. Stroudwater supports the idea, estimating the financial impact to be $170,000. But it's hard to put a price on losing this option for childbirth in Sitka. Akins leads us into the main labor room. The design is a cross between surgical and spa chic, with a floral woodcut on the wall.
This is where my daughter was born.
Aww. Allen just murmured, "This is where my daughter was born." Births at the hospital have declined from 60 in 2005 to 35 last year. That's part of the logic for cutting OB, but Akins has her own opinions on that.
In the lower 48, yes, OB units don't make money either. If we lost this unit, it would be a great loss to the community here.
Back in the hallway, Allen says he'll also be talking with Search next month to see if their family doctors can get credentialed to deliver babies across the bridge.
That's one of the advantages of having one spot, is that you can split that up among more doctors, and they don't necessarily lose as many weekends to being on call.
Scheduling is also driving changes to surgery.
That's the clean area.
We pass by the surgical wing next, where Stroudwater says the hospital could save $190,000 by transitioning from a 24/7 operation to scheduled surgery 5 days a week. Amid these suggestions for where to cut, there's one area they want to see grow, and that's the clinic.
Hello.
Stroudwater has challenged the hospital to get 2,500 more patient visits to Mountainside Family Healthcare this year. Manager Patrick Williams believes it can grow by 5,000.
Every provider that we have has a waiting list, and we know people want to come in and be seen. I have calls every day. Can I get in? Can I get in? And we just don't have the room or the space available.
Which is why the hospital has been pushing the assembly for a modular unit, so they have more physical space to see patients.
Where we're proactively reaching out to people and reminding them, hey, you're due for your this test, or you're due for this, and that we're developing more of a team approach to healthcare. It's not just, you're not just coming here because you're sick. You know, we're working with you to keep you well.
So that's the vision for the hospital, in a nutshell, that they presented to the assembly last week. Every department has been developing action plans to get the ball rolling. But is the hospital being outlined on paper one that patients would want to visit in person? At least one individual who is sitting in the audience at the presentation said no. This is Karen Lucas.
It seems to me the model they've presented would create a hospital that is an empty shell, a business, but that doesn't really provide the services that people need.
Nor does she want the hospital to merge with the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. Sitka was headed in that direction until two owners of a local hotel said they were interested in buying the hospital, and the city became wary of a sole source contract with Search. What happens next is up to the Sitka Assembly. They could support the hospital in this vision, put its management out to bid, or something else entirely. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.